you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Listen, I need a quick consultation because we're going to go to a concert in a few hours. You and you and me and the boys and the gals.
Oh, yeah. And Triple D. It's a Triple D night.
It is. And I don't know why, probably in our mania and being out of the loop back in March when we bought these tickets. I mean, none of us thought to sit together, you know, so that it's like we're all going, but we're just going to be scattered around Los Angeles inside that Greek theater.
I think it was one of those things that you were like, I got tickets. You guys get tickets, too. You know, it was just one of those times.
Because KCRW, you know, this is our local, you know, NPR or whatever. The way they release tickets, especially when they sponsor shows, is they're like, you know, get them while they're going, because they promote the shit out of this stuff. And it was one of the first concerts that was signaling life was going to come back this fall.
Yeah.
And I just got really nervous I wasn't going to get one. So I think I was like, everyone get in line. And, you know, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, we're not sitting together. None of us are sitting together.
We didn't sit together for Future Islands. We're not sitting together for this. It's not. And you're just kind of like, hi, bye. Like,
I know. I'm out of practice. Or we can figure out, here's the thing, is fuck the rules, man. You know, there's that whole fun section that's in front of the C block where people just kind of congregate and dance. So I'll send you the bat signal at some point this evening to be like, come down here, meet me and dance.
Yeah, if you hear a weird bird call between songs, you know it's Brooke.
It's me. So my consultation is, after we wrap up, I'm going to go buy a new weed pen because I think my dad stole mine or I gave it to my brother. Or so.
It's classic.
Classic Mark Van Poplin.
Classic Mark.
I know. And so I think I'm going to go a little out of character because it's a brand that is kind of for newbie nerds, which is like me to a T, but it's supposed to be a dancey, giggly, fun, and it's a sativa blend, which is not usually what I do. But I think I'm gonna do it.
Here's my little take, my tutorial on a little vape pen is you just take little baby hits.
Don't pull
on that fucker until it's too much and you cough it all out. You just gotta like slowly ease into it.
Well, this brand is Dosist. If you're familiar, I've had them before. Mm-hmm. It has a trigger mechanism so that when it feels you pulling, it gives you a metered dose, 2.5 milligrams.
It cuts off.
Huh. So,
well,
right,
that sure is.
Because fucking Dum Dum here.
Do you know that they have it where you're going? Did you do your research? You can like show up and, okay, good. I just didn't want you to be disappointed and then be like, give me this, and then you just go into a fucking sativa hole at the show and have no fun at all, you know. I don't want that for you.
Thank you. And I think I'm going to listen. I'm gonna bring an array. I'm gonna be like a fucking you know, concessions lady, you know, that style. I'm gonna have my little cardboard box in front of me filled with my different levels of weed. So that if I think I'm going to try this one before we even like leave the house, so that if I need to, you know, recalibrate and try something different by the time the show starts, and yay, I've got some joints that are a really great ratio of mostly CBD to THC, which just get me like a little goofballs, and that's about it. There will be no meltdown tonight is what I'm trying to tell you.
Thank you.
Oh my God, you guys. Welcome to Cyber Podcast. I'm Andrea Wallace.
And I'm getting ready to go out. I'm Brooke Van Poplin.
This is honestly like the best pre-shift like chat, like polishing silverware, polishing glasses like that we've had in a really long time. I pictured us at the restaurant having this conversation.
So great. You guys, I'm determined to get it right, you know, and
as you should, as yes. you should. You know, I don't like rum, really, unless it's a tiki drink. I rarely drink gin or the side effects that makes me feel or flushed or hot. Why can't we calibrate and like hone in on very, very specifically the kind of high we want? And now we have that option, you know?
We have these options. It's good. I've been flying blind all these years. And, you know, that can be, you know, I think something we're discussing really quite often on this cannabis live stream that I'm working on is just like there are a bunch of us who really would benefit from really enjoy all the wonder that weed has to offer, but we have had terrorist experiences over the last, you know, decade, especially the stronger weed we talk about all the time. So I have a whole slew of friends who just say weed is not for me. And that was me too. I was like, I'm just not a weed person. And here's the thing, guys. It takes some self-discovery, some time, some research. There might be a little whoopsie here and there to figure out what you like and what makes your brain happy and what your good, happy space is. And like, if you don't know what someone's giving you, say no. But like, yeah, to be your own, you know, you can be that DARE officer narc who's like, I say no to drugs that I haven't fully studied on a website, you know, but I will do a drug that I've exhaustively researched and read 4-star reviews on. You know,
I love the idea that like you're the scientist who like does all the work and you're like, okay, like statistically, like this should work for me. And then it's just you're also that person that like anytime you smoke weed, you just like fall the fuck apart. Not that that's going to happen. Right, I just like the scenario. And then you're like, but I've done all the science work. Why?
I know.
Which, but you know, that happens to people all the time.
It does. But it's my white whale. I've been chasing this like. The few times I've had this perfect high, and I've been chasing that high all these years, and I think I will find it again. And to be honest, we've been talking to fucking experts. They are researchers. They are literal squares. They're either neuroscientists or they are research, like PhD research. And you ask them, do you like being high? And they're like, not particularly, but the benefits of, you know, and they're just like, they're like, this is how you research. Is there like, sometimes you're going to get too stoned and not like it. Yeah. But it's been so cool and reassuring to be like, okay, I do kind of fall into this category of cannabis research where I need to really, really control it.
Totally.
And then wield the benefits, you know? So anyways.
Tonight, we'll let you guys know. Tonight's one big experiment. So
yeah, because you guys have just watched me walk out of many, many concerts over the years. So
Brian is just doing a very
I know. Nod. I know. You guys, this is like this. You're like famous last words, BVP.
Well, we aren't sitting together. So if I don't hear the bird call, then I'll know you have flown the coop.
Exactly.
Don't worry. It's all in your mind.
You guys, hey, if you guys haven't already, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review our podcast. Tell us what you think.
We love when you do it. And thank you. Someone literally just reviewed us this week and was just like, chill ladies, fun podcast. Love it. That's all I got to say.
I've never been happier. That's all I need.
It was great. We love the words of encouragement. When you subscribe, it really does help us kind of stay on the charts in America. It's a big deal to be in the 200s when you think of like how many fucking podcasts there are. It's you guys keeping us sort of, you know, top of the pops, if you will. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but we are independent. There's nothing behind us pushing it. So it's us. It's us who listen and us doing it that it's like we're registering, which is really cool because we've worked hard for Andrea. Going on three years.
It's crazy.
I love it.
Half of the time during a goddamn pandemic. Just going to say that too.
I know. But we're coming out. We've had a lot of, layers to this podcast and how we've related to you guys and what we've all gone through. So we are all officially trauma bonded.
Okay. Well, let's hop into some headlines, shall we?
Yes. Fuck to the yes. Well, this headline immediately jumped out to me, Andrea. It made me so excited. But basically the title of this CNN style article is Women Have Been Overlooked in the History of Alcohol. This author set out to change that. And essentially, there is a brand new book that's hit the, whether you like your Kindle or your hard copy from an Borders, but no, Borders are all gone. Sorry, from the Barnes and Noble.
There
could be one from your local bookseller like Skylight or Powell's or whoever. But the book is called Girly Drinks, A World History of Women and Alcohol. And it's a book that looks at alcohol through a feminist lens, uncovering centuries-old stories of female entrepreneurs, rulers, and rebels who were critical to the production of distribution and culture of alcohol, but have been given little or no credit for their contributions.
Cool and also typical.
No, I know. And we have 100% harped on this and covered, the fact that we also, the things that we've uncovered, the lights that we've been shining on the fact that, women weren't, you were scorned if you did drink. Then there was, you're not allowed to work in a bar or an inn. You need to be hidden upstairs or in a snug, or behind this partition. Mm-hmm. Then you weren't allowed. Then again, we bartended while the boys were away at war. Then they came back and were like, get the fuck out of here. You improved it too much. It's going too well. Let us take it back and fuck it up. Women weren't legally allowed to bartend until the 1970s. You drop this piece of trivia to anyone and they go, shut the fuck up. And then look it up. Look at, because it does sound crazy, right?
It does sound crazy, but let's talk about how much people spent on Cosmopolitans when Sex and the City made him popular. Let's talk about, even some of these facts in the article. Catherine the Gate catalyzed Russia's vodka industry. There Hildegard von Bingen, a nun who was perhaps the first person to document adding hops to ale.
Right?
There's a woman who basically put Maker's Mark on the map named Margie Samuels, who is the one that came up with the iconic red cap. Bitches be getting it done everywhere.
And I think, too, when we went into the craft beer industry, mm-hmm. it was a really great email that was written in from a listener who was like, fun fact, witches, witches are also some of the people you can credit for beer, hops, brewing, you name it. And when it was, discovered to be delicious and wonderful and possibly profitable, it was like, burn them and steal their grog.
Oh, my God. This was my idea. Suppress women everywhere. Take their ideas. Profit off of them. I told the story about how, the Moscow Mule Oprah situation,
Okay, but Andrea Wallace is not credited. in the annals of history. Go ahead. Now's your time. Stake your claim.
I have a friend who was a personal chef for Oprah, and I introduced her to Moscow Mules at one of Brian's birthday parties. And the next thing you know, Oprah fucking loves Moscow Mules and is catapulting them into cocktail packages you can get for Christmas with your copper mugs and your ginger beers and your vodkas. So I feel like I played a part in that. I'd like to take ownership of it.
I'm giving it to you. I say, red light, green light, green light all the way, baby. Okay.
Yeah, and that was three women pushing it forward together. Okay. But yes. I do think that it only makes sense, especially with trends in the time and women pushing cool shit. This is makes so much sense to me. This is how it's done for sure. Nobody's going to think that a fucking farty light beer is sexy that dudes want to drink. Nobody's Milwaukee's best was nobody's thinking that. They want the sexy awesome shit. Not to like be like, if women are doing it, it's sexy. You know what I'm saying? But like cool shit. Let's say that. The coolest.
Let's call it like finessed. Let's call it layered. Let's call it a little complicated and mysterious.
Absolutely.
Like a woman. I do love that. During her research, Omira, she says, you know, by the half point of researching the book, I could start to guess what was going to happen. Women were going to create this new alcohol or new way of making alcohol, and it immediately was going to be taken over by men as soon as it got popular. And she's like, every country in every time period, this is the history of alcohol. And that's crazy. And this is one of the first books. She's like, the other thing is like, you're out there trying to research the book that needs to exist. But the truth is, this is the book that needs to exist to get the research on the map. She's like, it was this like snake eating its tail thing. Because then, of course, like if men are in charge of also sort of keeping our history books because they take it upon themselves, they're going to conveniently leave out, you know, it's a very white male written history in our country, as we know, for a lot of other areas that are, you know, fraught. With an alternate version of how this fucking country and world works. But yeah, of course, she's like, you really, really have to dig to get to the truth.
I mean, the whole like changing it like through the view of a male lens, it's almost like as if like that nun who like put hops in beer was like the original St. Pauli's girl and then over time became like more scantily clad with her tits out on a beer bottle. Like that's how it works, guys.
Guys, open your eyes.
Open
you know?
Your eyes. Abre los ojos.
Yes, exactly. But I honestly think I'm going to gift myself this book. I think it'll be a great read. Maybe we should do a little book club and come back.
Oh my God,
and
for sure. Let's get her on the show.
I was just going to say, I bet we could reach out and see if she'd love to do, we'd love if she would do an episode.
We would love nothing more.
We would love nothing more. But guys, do check it out. The book, again, is called Girly Drinks, A World History of Women and Alcohol. Yay.
This one's on the house.
So then speaking about that, if you want to dive into this at all, I've got your back. Something we were talking about, top of the show.
Oh, CBD cocktails.
And cannabis cocktails are now this sort of, we want to hear from you. Are you living in states and bars where they've learned how to navigate this? Because you're not going to see very often, as we know, like THC in a cocktail, like, you're not allowed to, that's not legal. Mm-hmm. You know, CBD is legalized and it can be added to many a thing. And we've also been trying to decipher like what CBD is bullshit and what CBD is actually beneficial. Do you know where they sourced it? Otherwise, you're just drinking weird shit. I'm telling you, I have gotten like a 2-month crash course on trying to understand CBD. And so it's this, but it's going to be this sort of snake oil salesman version of this new craze that's going to be popping up. That's going to probably just be a bit of a nightmare for bartenders, consumers.
I mean, I feel like it was kind of already like starting to make a big name for itself. And then COVID happened and everything kind of backed off. So maybe now it's just starting to build once again. Like when Lowe's opened up their cafe in West Hollywood, which I haven't heard shit about since we even did the story, because I think it's, you know, very hard to navigate that. There was like certain drinks you could get with cannabis in it, which are basically the same things that you can purchase from dispensaries, right? Like your THC, right. your CBD drinkies that way. But you're right. It is really hard to figure it out. And it's almost like, do you have to like sign a waiver? Like, what do you have to do? You know?
I mean, listen, I'll tell you what. I should have signed a waiver the first time someone made me a Sazerac and also made me something with absinthe. You know what I'm saying? Like, like that alone, like alcohol alone can really pack this crazy punch. And I personally am now becoming a proponent against like quit buying CBD water, quit buying, like if there is CBD for sale at the gas station or 7-Eleven, not touch it,
at Walgreens. Yeah, I probably wouldn't. It's just that trickle down. It's like getting like a fancy bacon burger at Burger King, in my opinion. It's just this like trickle down from like the fancy shit that just is like been broadened and diluted. Here's the thing. And, you know, and I know we've talked about this before, is that like if you're getting something with THC in it, say cocktail wise, it doesn't hit you the same way that alcohol does. Like,
no,
it might not hit you until like 2 hours later.
And
you know?
Could have kept drinking and now you're mm-hmm. in a really weird place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, like the argument is like, okay, people might be like, oh, but like I'm trying to mix it up and do more, you know, have more THC in my body versus alcohol or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but suddenly when you've got them both going at the same time, I really think that's a slippery slope. Like, I can tell you how I'm going to feel after 3 glasses of wine. That is a very, once again, very road tested, trustworthy sort of situation. If I had 2 glasses of wine and then a boozy cocktail that had either THC or CBD in it, we're talking like your night could get dangerous, you know, if you're alone. And granted, I don't think we're going to see we're not going to be able to legally see THC. It's not legally allowed to be sold in a bar or establishment, but the CBD is sneaking in there. And may I do a quick PSA?
Sure.
I'm in a mood, guys. I'm in a mood. But okay, little background on me is I wanted to start using CBD more for my anxiety issues or for pain management, all this stuff, right? So I learned, and there's not a lot of research out there, it's getting out there, and there are a few really reputable sources. If you take a daily antidepressant like I did, an SSRI or an SNRI, CBD is the last thing you should be taking. It competes for your serotonin uptake inhibitors, all that stuff. And especially if you drink it or eat it as an edible, you will be competing with your antidepressant to be broken down in your liver at night, every night. It competes for the same chemical component that breaks down the CBD and the antidepressant. So you're not flushing out your daily antidepressant, which means it's not moving through you. And instead, you are having heightened bad side effects of your antidepressant. So I would feel really good momentarily. And then in the middle of the night, when, you know, your liver is flushing out, getting ready for the next daily dose, instead it was staying put and building up in my system. And I was having really bad palpitations, really like increased anxiety, all the side effects. And then I was like, why is that? And then found out it's actually the truth behind it. CBD is very bad. So you can put a tablet under your tongue or do a tincture right into your bloodstream and try and take it later in the day. But I think this is like a really powerful piece of research that I've now talked to like 3 certified doctors, experts, whatever. And so I'm totally off antidepressants, which is going great.
Awesome.
I know. No, it really is. I can't lie. It has actually been going great. And so I'm ready to start dabbling again with some CBD and all this other stuff. But your doctor doesn't tell you this, or if they ask you about your cannabis habits and you're like, I'm not telling you shit. Like, and also if you did tell them you were using weed, then they might be judgmental or shitty or like, it's terrible. Doctors mm-hmm. are really, really out of the loop.
Mm-hmm. Brian's had that happen before where it's just like, and it depends on like, what kind of like, where do you go? Like, we go to Kaiser and it's like they have to check all these stupid, dumb boxes and it's just
right.
like, and all these doors close to like you getting more help because they treat you like you're abusing
and it's
your
like,
privileges.
It's fucking legal.
You're just asking for fucking help, dude.
Right.
You know?
Right. And when they should be telling you like, A, this interacts poorly with certain like blood thinners, like it's crazy. So there is a lot of stuff that I think if you are willy-nilly kind of wondering like, will this help me, but I'm already on this, it's like, it was mind-blowing and it completely explained why I was having such adverse reactions for something that I thought was going to help me. Wow. So that's why I do think it's fucking crazy for them to put CBD in a cocktail and for all these people to have no clue what they could be stepping into.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though I'm pro all of that stuff. I'm just
absolutely. It's just a slippery slope when there's too much of things can be bad things. And is what is, I think, the what we're taking away from that. But
I don't like it.
Thank you for sharing that, Brooke. So great. Should we now jump into some server
submitted
stories?
Stories.
Okay, this is from Jeannie, who wrote in a few episodes ago, kind of talking how she works in a hyper local small town diner and had been terrorized by this group of old farts where the one guy who's like, I don't got money to tip you today because the thing I like isn't a special or, you know, whatever. And we gave her, you know, we gave her some advice to be like, how about you mean mom him and embarrass him in front of the group and, you know, and what have you, like, you just flow the hell out of him.
Right.
So she gave us a little follow up. She said, Brooke and Andrea, I just listened to last week's episode and wanted to say thanks for the shout out. I also want to apologize. Wow. The few semesters I spent at community college did not do any justice for my writing skills. Whatever, girl. Okay. So after this no tip incident I told you about, I stewed on this for about a week as I am very, very part time now since I became a mother. So I wanted to tell this old turd to eat it. Well, actually, I wanted to walk up to him, mug and pot of coffee in hand, and say, well, I don't know. Are you going to tip me today, before giving him his coffee? And, you know, I imagine he would probably reply back with, well, I ain't got to tip you. It ain't my blah, blah, blah. To which I would respond, well, I have the right to refuse service to anyone in the state of Ohio. This was her revenge fantasy that she was playing over and over again in her head. She says, but, and this is very relatable, but instead I took the high road. But twist, plot twist, she said, it felt fucking good. I brought him his half cup of coffee. Yes, he wants half a cup of coffee because he wants it to stay extra hot while he jabberjaws through the morning. I walked up and said, good morning, John, with a big fake ass smile. And it actually felt good. He must have really needed that kindness yesterday because he almost got into a fist fight. I've been at this diner for 7 years and I've never seen a single fist fight here. But leave it to fucking John. So anyway, she's like, you cannot make this shit up. They had to call the line cook out front to break it up. I guess even as an animal lover, I felt insulted that he will pay $3 for his dog's bacon. But for me, a human being, nothing. This person's not going to change. That's what I have to say, Jeannie, is like, it's not going to change. She says, Godspeed, good tips, and thanks again for the shout out. I often think about leaving the industry, but between y'all and the bitchy waiter, you help me keep my sanity. And, well, I need the money. Duh. LOL. Jeannie.
I'm just glad we all have a place to air our grievances. I think this is what's really the most important thing. Like,
it's relatable. Or just, you know, even I realized, too, without I've taken a little break from talk therapy just because it's expensive. And, you know, I'm ready to get back into it at some point. But that was my weekly time to just be like, I need to get this off my chest. And even if this serves as a sounding board, I'm telling you, it does wonders to speak your concern and be heard and get some feedback.
Get it out of your brain and onto, and you know, where it spins and spins and spins and into the hands of Brooke and Andrea.
Yeah. But even the first step of writing it out, you start to like, even writing out your grievance, you start to feel it's better that you're expressing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes when I do that too, I'm also like, I sound crazy and petty as fuck. And then,
no.
Well, sometimes, and I can be like, I stand by this, but okay, maybe I'm being a little over the top with this.
Yes.
But that's also a form of therapy, even just writing it out and sending, you know. So anyways, we love it. Send your emails.
Smile. Moving on. Next story, guys. Hello, lovely people. I heard your call for new server submitted stories, but alas, my stint in food service was short and relegated to a couple of years making overpriced and very sugary smoothies for yuppies. Oh, that very much counts. But I do hope to warm your hearts with a server who has stuck with me for many years. When I was a baby human in my early 20s, I broke up with my then boyfriend, but decided to go on our already scheduled summer vacation and also allowed him to live with me for 6 months after the fact, because who amongst us wasn't young and dumb?
Been there.
I mean, even being young, it doesn't really have anything to do with it. Okay.
It continues to happen.
Yeah. We visited Cape May and probably enjoyed some sights around passive aggressive sniffing at each other, outright hostility, and young adult angst. But anyway, the first night of our trip, we went to a bar and grill and had a few, more than a few, cocktails to ease the tensions. Our server was an absolute gem who somehow managed to get us to open up about the recent breakup, how we were feeling, et cetera, and told us to come back anytime to give him the full story. Flash forward to a couple days later in our trip, and my now ex was off meeting a friend, so I had a solo night to hit the town. I found my way back to the bar with the same lovely server, and over the course of far too many cocktails, spilled out my heart. Of course, at that age, every breakup feels like the end of the world, and I, probably slurring words and through one bloodshot eye, told this poor man my entire story and all my insecurities about being a single person for the first time as an adult. The details are hazy, but I have a crystal clear memory of leaving the bar to my server, refusing to let me pay for any of my drinks, and coming out from behind the bar to give me a hug and tell me, don't sell yourself short. It was a moment of pure, unnecessary kindness at a time that I really needed it. And as I tell it now, I'm tearing up at how impactful it was to me. To this day, I still remember that moment and how much a kind word from a stranger meant when I was at a low point. From someone now on the other side, I hope that all the wonderful, overworked, unappreciated servers who listen to your show know that your moments of kindness are lasting and mean the world to people who you take care of. Godspeed and don't get murdered. Wait, I'm mixing up podcasts. This is from AJ. They, he. Oh, this is great.
It's such a good one. And I do have a few, you know, like I said, servers can be bartenders, diner servers, just people in the service industry can sometimes be unintentional little guardian angels. They're just doing their job.
The beacon of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they might have to, you know, like it might be their job to be interacting with you. But there are some who really will drop the facade and connect if you really seem like you need it and you're putting it out there, you know. Some people don't want to be talked to. Other people need you to hear everything that they need to say that night. And, you know.
Absolutely. We're thanks sponge. For sharing. Yeah. I even made me think I've like some of my favorite servers I've like ever bartenders have ever had. Obviously ones I've known, but ones I like just visiting a place and will never see again in my whole life and how amazing they made my evening.
Yeah. Or that we were both those people and neither of us do either of those things anymore. Mm-hmm. But like I'm thinking, you know, and usually like me too, like once I start venting to a cool bartender, I will find my way into their bedroom. Usually that's also my extra, you know, I'm like, can you believe my bad luck? You know, want to make out? I miss those people. I do. Many of them are happily married now. And, you know, anyways, it's all good. It's all good. You know who you are if you're listening. Like I said, I'm in a mood. Listen, I've only got a few more hours of being 42 years old left. So.
Yeah, it's a big birthday. It's a birthday,
Eve. A birthday. Indulge me, people. I was like, guys, let's spend 15 minutes talking about all the bartenders I've made out with. Or just go back and like listen to episode 3 at the beginning of the podcast, which is great.
All right, one more story for you.
Okay.
Brooke, you go.
I love this. Okay. Hello to Brooke, Andrea, and Brian. I hear your call for server-submitted stories, and I'm here to answer it. I finally have something worth writing in about. I love this. This was, makes my blood boil. Okay. Last night, I had one of the most nightmarish tables of my life. A 24 top, mostly vegetarians, mostly non-drinkers, and to top it all off, they allegedly had a set menu that they had emailed the managers to the wrong email address, mind you, but that we did not know about until they arrived. Set menus are no substitutions or modifications to make it easier to accommodate a 24-person party at the same time. But these people paid no mind and asked for almost every dish on the set menu with modifications. I told them no where I could, but our chef was so frustrated that we had a set menu party out of nowhere, first of all, that even a few mods set him into a flurry of swear words and slamming his hands on the expo table. I can picture this.
You poked the bear.
Yes, you did. God, I can see it. Okay. Either way, we somehow pulled off a three-course meal for these people by the skin of our teeth and the sweat of our brow. When it came time for the check, they wanted it split 12 ways, which would have been no big deal, just time-consuming, except they wanted the alcohol on another tab altogether and to split that one another 5 ways. Oh, my God. Okay. Asking me to run 17 checks is like asking me to perform Musetta's waltz on an iced tea bucket. I do not know what that means. Meanwhile, they're all talking shit about the food, the service, and the restaurant itself. Plus, of course, all the time they spent waiting for the bill. Okay, this is a problem they created.
Oh my God.
I bring the 17 checkbooks back to the table, piled from my knee to my neck, and have to go over with each and every one of them that while you were not charged for the alcohol, it is on the same overall table, so it does appear on the bill. Oh God. These people have never left the house. I stood for probably 20 minutes going from guest to guest with my phone out, showing them on my own calculator app that they had indeed not paid for the booze, but that it just appears on the check because they're all at the same table. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, furthermore, they had a total of 5 drinks, which would have amounted to an additional $4 for each guest, even if I had fucked up. Okay, right? So when they finally left, another server overheard them talking even more shit and swearing they'd never be back. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Godspeed and good tips, Crystal. Again, Crystal. Yeah, just bye. Don't ever come back. Don't ever come back.
Yeah.
We don't care. You were a bad table. We don't care.
Yeah. Well, that's one crystal that needs to be recharged in the moonlight, first of all. You
Crystal Dromboski, get out there.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Geez, Louise. I mean, I hate tables like this, and then you're forced into being, like, overly nice and really, like, super, super over-accommodating, and then, I mean, what a bunch of fucking... Eeyores. I'm just gonna say that nice thing for me to say.
And let's you know, again, we have been doing this for 3 years. There's a good chance there are new to the pod people who don't do service industry but like listening, find it interesting. Maybe it's time for a quick refresher. You and your friends, put it out there. You do not ask for 17 checks.
Not okay.
Okay. More than 4 starts to get weird, you know? It really does. It's too much. Like, you need to have a plan in place. I mean, you had a set menu. So there was clearly some foresight of how much everyone was going to spend. I told you, you know, like a week ago, it was so fun when we all had that dinner. I was like, I'm slapping down my Amex. Everyone Venmo me. That is a fucking class move. It felt great. Everyone was real quick when I gave them their total. Boom, hit my Venmo. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Put it in my bank account. Got it off my Amex. Like,
absolutely.
You know? And it's just, this just blows my mind that, like, it just says a lot about this group of people. Nobody was really classy or a baller in any way where anyone took charge and was like, oh, this is an atrocious situation.
I know.
Clearly none of them had service industry experience, which
right. And who shit the bed on the email? That's the who should be dealing with all of it.
100%. God, I mean.
Oh, I hate this.
I feel like usually, I mean, places when you come in with that many people, usually someone has to put a credit card down. So
I just had to do I made reservations at a place the other night that was like $35 per guest. If you don't come in, you get charged. Yeah.
Ooh, girl, we ain't playing.
By the way, okay. I have to tell you, we had a server named Shalimar the other night, and he was fucking incredible. If you guys go to Cha 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 in the Arts District, ask for Shalimar. He made our night so fun. I love them. I love him. I love Shalimar.
Okay. I know. I'm
Brian's
I'm
like, me too, me too.
Okay, I'm excited to try this spot out. That sounds awesome.
But you guys, these are obviously the stories that paying us, you know, and keep them coming. Good, bad, up, down, server submitted stories.
Red light, green light, baby.
Yeah.
I've been watching Squid Game. Uh-huh. Send us your Squid Game version of A Night on the Floor. Sometimes waiting tables is a total Squid Game, but
yeah. 20 servers start. There will be one standing by the end of the night and they'll get all the tips. Go now. You guys send those stories to sidewardpod@gmail.com.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, guys. Well, let's jump into the topic of the day. You know, we've had some pretty like deep dives lately. We just thought we'd like keep it light and fresh and fun today with a topic. We're going to talk about working at a date night spot.
Exactly. Or just date night, date day. It's date famous, whatever. Maybe it just serves actual dates. I don't know. That would be located in the Yucca Valley in California.
Oh, famous for dates. Sure. You know, they have the ambiance that gets the juices flowing, you know?
Yeah, yep. As Andrea wrote down here in the document, she's like, let's chat about what it's Andrea wrote in the document, let's chat about what it's like to make the horny donuts.
Yay!
I've never said a sentence like that out loud.
We've talked about couples before, obviously, and like what it's like to wait on couples and their, you know, how they behave, good, bad. But we don't talk about what it's like to work at these places, you know.
Well, if you are working at like it's a thing. I mean, we know when we've worked at the hot date spot, you know. Mm-hmm. And so every day is Valentine's Day. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, it really is. I mean, some of these restaurants I've been researching, like One If I Land, Two If I See in New York, is like the most romantic restaurant. And it's like all it is, I think, couples over and over and over again. And there's different kinds of dates that I thought that we could kind of break down, you know. But like, what does it take to wait tables and like bank on the fact that people are dating, right? So let's talk about the first date. So like, I think as servers, anybody can experience this, because a first date I think can kind of be anywhere, right?
Well, so as a server, right, who's now out in the wild, you know, I've got that eye, I've got that sharpened, heightened sensibility. I'm now really good at being out, and I'm like, first date, I can fucking spot a first date from across the room.
Yeah.
You just know.
And you're not frequenting the most romantic restaurants in Los Angeles all the time. You're at normal, regular places. I feel like if you're doing an icebreaker, going for something really baller like that is a big move.
You're putting a lot on it. I think, you know, right. Okay. So, you know, maybe it's good to sort of identify what can be a date spot and when it's appropriate. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm talking about when I see couples on first dates, I'm usually at a fun, laid back place where you can get a drink, mm-hmm. kind of divey, popular, lots going on, many other people around that you guys can sort of, you know, I think that's great for a first date because you can sort of people watch, you can talk shit about other people, you can be a little entertained if you're if your conversation's a little slow. Maybe it's a spot that has those goofy adult-sized bar and pub games, which we, you know, did a whole episode about.
Icebreakers.
Totally. But right, like a lot of icebreakers, a lot of moving pieces, and also not the pressure of everyone else seeming like they're on a date. You've got, you know, people with their buddies, maybe with their kids, maybe a couple that's been together forever. So it doesn't feel like this super
pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. High pressure sitch. But there are bars, even though they're super laid back, they are known as a great first date spot for that very reason.
Totally. They just make it very easy to facilitate, you know, and the lighting is always going to be a really good, I don't know, all the ambiance. But like, I think with a first date, no matter what, as a server or a bartender, like, I'm going to say it, Godspeed and good tips on that one, because you never fucking know how it's going to be. Like, you don't know if it's going to go very well or very bad. You don't know what you're going to witness and how, like, awkward it's going to be for you to witness it. You know, or it could be amazing. These two people could end up spending the rest of their lives together. Who knows?
And you were there and you facilitated it by making sure you promptly showed up with more alcohol to pour down their throats so they could get their love connection going. I've absolutely, you know, but I mean, you've probably also as a server or a bartender have witnessed, and I will say this because I've also been on the receiving end of first dates where you walk up with the person you traveled all that way to fucking spend some time with, and the bartender's like, you know, what can I get you? And the guy answers and he's like, I'll have a beer. And he's like, and for her? And he goes, I'm just paying for mine, in front of the bartender.
Oh.
On a first date. And I was like, Copy that.
Yikes.
Got it. Okay. Should I just leave right now? You know?
Wow.
And he's like, you got both of these? He's like, no, just mine. And I was like, this guy's cool.
Very good indicator on a first date too, especially, you know, maybe going back to like the vegetarian like story, like modifications. Like if someone's like, how are people treating you on a first date? How are they treating your server? Have we ever really talked about that? Like,
think to some extent or another, I think it's just also kind of like out there in the larger dating language, looking for red flags, to be like, are they shitty to wait staff? Because buckle up, baby. Like, if you are not that person, this is a bad, you know, if you both are like, you love being a piece of shit to servers too, then wonderful. You've met your horrible significant other and soulmate. You belong together in hell.
And then you continue to terrorize the same places over and over again and the same wait staff over and over again. All right, let's talk about more like the fancy date, okay? So we'll lean more into that territory. The sexy booths, the dim lighting, cloth napkins, Brooke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the expectancy of service is for sure elevated here. You know, typically someone's looking to impress, or like it's a couple like collectively ready to splurge. So it's upsell fucking city for you. Mm-hmm. As a server, as a bartender. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, this is a very specifically curated type of place.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's going to be on the map, known for like good cuisine, sort of like that exclusive ambiance. Mm-hmm. They're going to be set up in a way where the point is to make couples feel like very, you know, like the spacing is thought of, you know, whether the booths feel private and sexy, you know, or like there are just all these vibes where you're like, we're a sexy fucking date night that people are going to like, you know, knife each other to get reservations at. There's a lot of thought put into a floor plan. Like, mm-hmm. how does the fucking material of the chair even feel? Is that like a fun, elevated, weird
totally
thing, you know?
Like, I don't crowd the tables. Don't make them too close to each other. They need to be like spread out accordingly. So you feel the intimacy, even though you're in a room full of people.
Right. You're not jammed too close to other people, but the table's not so big that you can't lean in over a shared dessert, mm-hmm. and do kissy face, you know.
Sure,
it can't,
sure.
Like the table itself might be a little more of an intimate size, but you won't be jammed in too close to the next person having an intimate time, which, as we all know, is a very awkward bad feeling, which is another reason, going back to why I hate Valentine's Day, is because places will usually double the floor size in mm-hmm. terms of seating to make money, and you're like, what is this, a fucking State Fair. Like, this is a goddamn hog auction that I got ushered into.
What am I sitting? Is this a whiskey barrel, like, with a tablecloth on it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which actually probably would be like, cool, five stars. You know.
And I would like to take a moment to realize, too, like, I think, you know, bars that think a little bit about the harder about the customer experience, like if a girl is like more dressed up because this is a fancier place or whatever, like, they're not going to jam you into situations where it's just one long continuous bench and you have to fucking lift your leg into the air and show your vagina to sit down. Like, like, I hate shit like that, you know?
I like a place, too, where it's like you sit down and someone waits to hand you a menu. I mean, that's classy. But I think working at places like this, that's just what you're used to. You're used to selling the romance, right? Which I think is kind of amazing, like, to work at a place where it's just like, we sexy as fuck. You gonna have a great time. It's gonna be smooth. It's gonna be smooth as silk. You guys just let us finesse, again, that word, finesse you and do the work. Which is fun to be able to be like, I'm going to take you on a journey of the senses.
Right. And I think, too, like, especially, like, you know that you are on a good date, too. Like, if both parties are willing and excited to be like, I give it up to God, you know, to let the restaurant and the professionals at this restaurant do the thing that they do, right? Mm-hmm. Versus walking in and immediately trying to control the experience, which is like, no, that's the whole reason we exist. We're here to make you want to fuck, okay? We've thought it over. The food, the drink, the lighting, the everything. Like, we are your fucking wingman and woman in this situation. So cut it out, you know?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I think that there is, like, do you think that everything being online and being able to dissect every single menu and every single drink online is, like, ruining this?
Well, that's a problem you have a little more than the average person. You study it like it's a fucking SAT.
I don't
SAT.
Actually, like, anymore now. I kind of just, like, let it. I don't. It's a new thing where I'm just like, I'm not going to ruin this. I used to kind of. But now I'm like, I just want to, like, wait and look at the and have the experience, which I, you know.
Then that must be really new. And I mean that lovingly. I'm just saying, like, you are the person.
But you can't get away from it. Like, also, if you're making a reservation and looking at the menu, you're kind of like, oh, that looks good. That looks good. That looks good. But I don't, I'm not the kind of person who is like, I know exactly what I'm going to order and I know exactly what I want when I go in. I do look at the menu, but I'm not that OCD. I would not say that.
Okay. Okay. I'm just saying, you're an enthusiast. You like to know. I'm just saying, I can kind of catch myself up short not doing my due diligence sometimes and sort of be like, oh, I don't want any. Like, I show up and be like, I don't like anything this place is about. I think my thing is, I do a scan to be like, do the cocktails look like my style? Okay, I see something on there where I know I could get this. Is the food okay? Great, I could eat here. But then I kind of leave it to chance, too, because you never know. You can walk in. Some menu items may have changed. Right. They might have fantastic specials. They might totally. Be running, you know. But, yeah, so I think that's, like, another hopeful, like, the thing about a place that knows it's maybe been, like, named, you know, by, like, a, you know, there are all these fun list aggregates. There's a big one here in L.A. called Infatuation L.A. Mm-hmm. that puts out really fun lists to be, like,
totally,
and they get really specific, like, the 10 best places to go on a dinner date when you know you're finally going to get laid, you know, or something like that. It's like a third, fourth date place, you know?
Absolutely.
And these spots, like, they get it. The servers are sexy. They're kind of just, like, lightly caressing your junk the whole time you're there, getting you in the mood, getting you ready, you know? It's and let them.
They're fluffing them. Your evening, if
they
you
are
will.
Fluffing. They're fluffers. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I love stuff like this, but I also love all sorts of different kinds of activity. I like fun dates. I like going to a fucking dive bar. I like going to a bowling alley. I think that, like, couples who are up for anything are people just like us, and it's probably their day off from the restaurant, and they're up to having lots of fun shenanigans all over the city.
For sure. Yeah. I think you know, that's a little different, like, in terms I can't speak to it service wise because you're like, you know, it's a bowling alley. You've got people who are in for leagues and your normal people who love bowling. And then I think if anything, it's just a bonus. If you're like, this couple's cool, they're on a first date and knocking down some pins together, wonderful. But there's no additional or special service you give them. They're bowling. You're going to fucking bowling alley. But yeah, I think like, I didn't know if they got a little off like the specific dating spot, but like, I know that you looked up these other things, but I think what's funny is you mentioned the recurring date.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people, the people who are on perpetual dates at all times, their date spot, this is where the couple that's making it work, that they're, you know, getting along with each other, and you know that they're coming in maybe once a week, maybe two times a month, but they are having date night and they choose you. They mm-hmm. pick you in your establishment.
Oh, yeah. I love it that maybe it's like this feeling they get where like it's like a reset for the relationship, like how much they love each other or like the feelings they had for each other when they first started coming to the restaurant and eating, and they get to like relive that every time they come in. I think that's
true. Yeah. Yeah. And like, I'm thinking of it from both sides, that there are absolutely the spots where you're like, how nice, like me and my significant other, like, I know this is like a no fail. You know, this place always makes us happy. We're happy to be here. So then we're walking in with happy energy. The fucking bartender knows us because we're here on a Tuesday, because we know that's when Kirsten's here mm-hmm. or whatever. And this whole thing just feels like we're all out on date night, even though you're working and we're eating and whatever. And I love that, especially when it's a couple that is good. I mean, now you can be on the receiving end of the other circumstance where you're like, oh God, it's date night for the, you know, what's that? Shit, I'm thinking of that cartoon. Either way, sorry. Whatever. But I'm thinking of like some grumpuses and you're like, oh God, they're here again. And it's like, sometimes you're like, I think they just need to get out of the house. And so mm-hmm. they're bringing their misery to put on display here. Yeah,
they've come
instead
to project their sadness onto us for the evening.
But it's cute. I used to wait on a couple who they were weekly regulars, and it's just cute. You could tell they've been doing this for years, and it got to be like the third time I had them, like on a Tuesday night, on their date night. They never wavered from the woman had this and the man had this, and it was always the same cocktail that they each had. So by the third time, you're like, the usual? And they're like, absolutely, baby, you know. And like, the quicker you can get into their cute little date night ritual, it felt good to be like, here they come, like start making this and this. And it was like, once in a blue moon she'd be like, actually, I'm gonna change, you know. And you'd be like, what? And play all silly and be like, what's the special occasion, why aren't we having a Manhattan tonight or whatever. And but it was cute, but they were like clockwork. I had to mention the opposite of that, which yeah. is like the lazy, I call them the lazy local, which is like the serial dater who is like, yeah, I live two doors down from my local place, so I make every internet date happen here so that I'm 2 feet from home, so that either if I hate the date, I have to put in very little effort to go home, or if I want to bag them, also very little effort to drag them. You know, I really hate this person.
It's really interesting because they have like the lay of the land, and they know the staff.
The staff hates
knows
you.
Them.
We're like, mm-hmm. we're sort of vicariously dating also, because we're watching you be your horrible self while you subject multiple victims. I think this is a very male move. This can be a very male move.
Oh, yeah.
And we're watching all of these women just walk into another date with Derek, you know, and we're sitting here as a bartender. Now we're roped into your fucking charade, you know, being like, oh, haven't seen you in a while. You were here yesterday on a different date.
It's like your server just passes her a note when he's in the bathroom that just says run on it.
Like your date number 5 this week. We are so sick. Like, Derek sucks. Let us just do you the favor. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing too. If that's your move, you run the risk of the female staff totally blowing your shit up.
Uh-huh.
If you're a wanker, if you're a total wanker, like you think you're so slick, you're lazy, and the wait staff knows.
I love it. I love this. I'm so glad you added this one.
I hate the lazy local.
So I think, you know, date night, romantic restaurants obviously leads to people popping the question, people proposing in restaurants. And I found this article, which is from 2015, but I do think it's still pretty darn relevant. You know, people get engaged at restaurants all the time. Mm-hmm. And this says that at least 138 couples got engaged at the Eiffel Tower restaurant in Las Vegas, which is at the Paris Casino, that year alone. And that is only the number booked through online reservations on OpenTable. So they do their data analytics, they analyze them. And out of 13 million reservation requests, notes made, they basically found that 10,000 mentions were proposals, and the highest of them were at this Eiffel Tower restaurant. So this is like a serious deal. Like, there's less days in the year than there are proposals at this restaurant, right? So the Eiffel Tower restaurant, if you pop over to their website,
okay,
they have a whole proposals little menu you can pop on, and then you can then pick the package of how you want your evening to go, which is kind of great for a server. I'm not gonna
great for a
lie.
Server right. Obviously if it goes well, it's good for a server if she says yeah, if they say he, she, or they say yeah.
So the dinner proposal, you can get three premier corner tables. You can get a premier table. It's $600 a couple. You get a champagne toast. You get a custom dinner. You get a wine pairing. You get a half a dozen long stem roses. Ugh. And then a photo op as well. So it is actually a prefix that you get when you do all this. And I think everything is meant to be shared. And then they do like a romantic proposal. There's an illusionist that will do it for you. You can get a private table and a side magic show.
You know my skin is trying.
Romantic connection.
You know my skin is trying to tear itself off of my body right now. I am being polite. I am trying to imagine the experience of others politely.
Now, are you ready to like really freak out on me? You can do a brunch proposal.
Can you imagine? You just discovered the worst brunch shift anyone could ever fucking hope to work in their life.
Yeah. You've been doing cocaine all night in Vegas. You wake up, stumble into brunch. Turns out someone's proposing. Bottomless mimosas for the rest of your life. You know,
you look at the fucking seat map and you're like, how many proposals in my section today? Fuck, I got 5 proposals today. You know, you just start filling up fucking ice buckets for mimosas. What a piece of shit. You know, they chose brunch because it's cheaper than the dinner package.
I mean, obviously, like, they try and make it as nice and accommodating as possible, and because there are so many of them, they're just, you know, they're like, of course, every proposal is unique, and you know, and different no matter what tier of proposal package you can afford. It's got to be pretty shitty to have like, hey, these people proposed before us and they had a fucking illusionist come like and do magic at the table, and I just got like a shitty one flower and like a flowerless chocolate cake that the ring is covered in goo now. You know, it's not it's not a good look.
It's not a great look. And it's just like, you think like the person you're like flinging around Vegas isn't going to Google this spot and see it's the number one proposal restaurant in all of Vegas. Like they know what's up.
Not
they
even
know
Vegas
what's up.
In the country, I think, has the most in the country. Wow. Other than that, it's the River Cafe in Brooklyn. Do you know this place? No,
I don't know.
A lot of like places, high rise view things, like, you know, the Boathouse in Central Park in New York City, like the Space Needle in Seattle. You know, a lot of it is like the top of the world restaurant, the Stratosphere. It's just a lot of like, if you're, you know, 10 floors up or more, get down on one knee.
I guess I don't really, you know, we can be jaded sometimes because we've lived in a lot of big cities. It like, it's not exciting to me to be 10 floors off the ground. Like, I get maybe you come from a very flat land, you know, middle of the country. And so you're like, ooh, we're elevated. Isn't it romantic?
I think it's more the view. You know, the views really like lighten the mood. And
I know. I'm so bitter. I'm like, I want to be in the middle of the desert looking at nothing. That's, you know, so I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. But
absolutely. I just think like as a server, good Lord, like what a lot to deal with. I mean, again, making your life easier. But talk about places that like don't have a prepackage you can like click on and fill, like check like five boxes, you know, where there's like huge elaborate things and like having to fucking deal with like a nervous whoever the person is proposing and like their anxiety being projected onto you, which we've talked about before. Like it's a lot, you know.
You are part of like if it doesn't go well, they might blame you, which is wild, which is crazy, which is bad. Yeah, but that's it's a lot of emotional managing a lot of emotions and expectations, which is like we said, the nature of serving. This is just a very, very involved version of it. So I see you found, which I was going to go on a Reddit thread, and I'm going to go ahead and encourage y'all to send in server submitted stories about crazy things you have overheard on a first date, mm-hmm, or any dates that have gone horribly wrong. Andrea has some stuff to share.
Yeah. So this independent article that I found, which is definitely like, you know, from a Reddit thread, and they have like highlighted a few of them. So this first one says, a bartender wrote that when he arrived for a shift, the manager told him that there was a guy who wanted to propose to his girlfriend at the bar and they wanted his help. And I said, sweet, no probs. So the manager gave me the ring and told me to put it on top of her drink. Fast forward to the date, the bar was pretty busy. She ordered a Long Island, so I put it on the straw and I handed it to him. She had the what the fuck, mate, look, and then he dropped to his knees. Our manager put on some romantic songs, and to my surprise, she threw the drink at the poor bloke and ran out the door. Later, I came to realize it was only their second date.
Jesus. That's rough. Yeah, because I mean, like, you don't know what you've been roped into. It's wild that, you know, like, there are people with very poor judgment who have now roped you into the, you know, instead of saying you're like, oh, this is going to be so sweet. She's like, call the cops. This guy's crazy. You know, it's so, so terrible.
There's one more that I'll share really quick. About how a date ended in a dramatic drug bust and an arrest.
Yes, share this one.
So it says the worst date that this person saw was when they had a date get broken up by about 10 cops rushing to the table. Turns out the guy was a big time drug dealer who the cops had been looking for quite some time. He got tackled, cuffed, and taken outside. One of the cops came back to apologize and told me they caught him because the girl had tagged herself with him at the restaurant on Facebook. So I guess always ask your dates if they have any warrants out for arrest before you tag them anywhere. Oh, wow.
That's a great night. That's a great night as a server. That talk about some side work gossip. You know what I'm saying? I can 100% see us rolling our silverware being like, yeah. And then when the SWAT team rushed in, you know, surprisingly, the rest of my tables went 20%. They felt bad about the whole night. It was great. You know, we did get swarmed by, you know, the fucking FBI. And
I feel like this would be me I'd always be like, I'd be off that night. I'd be like, I always miss the fucking good stuff, man.
Truly.
But yeah, you guys, any awkward first dates, weird date nights, or if you love like waiting on people who are on a date, like send us those stories. I think this is a super fun.
It's a great topic.
Silly topic.
If you've been on a bad date at a restaurant, has a server helped you through it? Did you stay, you know, like we had that lovely server submitted story.
Yeah.
Like did a date blow you off and then you fucking hung out with the bartender and had a great, made a night of it anyways? Like that's the kind of shit I love. And I've absolutely been a part of that sort of shenanigan. I've been stood up and you're like, well, I'm not going to not have a drink, you know?
I'm going to stay here. Can I hang out with you guys all night? Okay, thank you.
I think that's the beautiful thing, too, about when you are service industry. You don't feel insecure hanging out in, you know, in bars and restaurants. You're like, nope. What's up, peeps? I do what you do.
Yeah. A solo date night, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, Brooke, let's wrap her up so we can go have a great night.
I'm so excited. I'm gonna go pick up that pen in just a few minutes.
Happy birthday to Brooke. You guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Send her your love. Send us those stories. It does that birthday love in form of stories, guys. That's
yes,
what I'm going to ask for.
I like
for.
That very much so. We will absolutely be talking to you again next week. Thank you again for supporting the pod. We love you guys. And until then, you know what we say at the end of each show. Godspeed.
And good tips.
Good fluff. Get fluffed.
Yeah, get fluffed out there, guys. Horny. Make those horny donuts.
Thank you.